to another very, very special episode of the What You Been Watching podcast. I am your host, the marvelous Mike Dudley, joined, not as always by my co-host cohort, but he is a younger brother. My man in the hot seat, my friends, legions, one and all, co-pilot for this mission through obscurity and absurdity, MK Dudley.
Yo, what up?
How are you, sir?
Good, dude.
Middle
good.
Brother.
Chilling.
That's right. You might know him from that beautiful, bright banner that you click on every time you go to get your audio files fixed.
Yeah, that's true.
So thank you for that, man. That design is a banger. We love it. Every time we show it off to people, it's like, oh, I love that. It's so, like, it's easy. It's
retro.
Simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very retro, but, like, I get it.
Cool. So why am I here?
Why are you here, sir? Well, you're filling in for the illustrious MD3, but that's okay. We're going to keep things nice and breezy, keep it rolling. This is not going to be a gotcha piece.
I messaged him and I was like, what are you ambushing me with today? He's like, this is not an ambush. I was like, that's very believable.
That's exactly what Diane Sawyer says.
That's what
Sawyer
they were saying before they ambush you.
Anywho's. You can reach us for all your queries, questions, comments, concerns at the Whatcha Been Watching podcast at gmail.com or facebook.com/Dudley Bros Podcast. We are also on Instagram at Whatcha Been Watching. We want to give a big shout out to Ketsa for our intro music, Always Bright, which is always a banger and always soothes my ear holes when I hear them horns start a blaring. We also want to thank Mr. A1, the man is a quadruple threat. He sings, he produces, he writes. What else does he do, Matthew?
I don't know. I just wanted to thank our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Also a plug to the big JC. The answer is, Matthew, he is a top-tier sommelier. This man can hook you up with the finest of crushed grapes.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I think that about covers the, you know, what you been up to, man? How you been?
Been good, dude. Playing Cyberpunk right now. Mixed bag is GTA for Tesla bros.
Okay.
It's fun, though.
The graphics are at least pretty. And
yeah, it's cool. It plays well. It's fun. I murder people.
Like, that game had a lot of bugs when it first came out.
It did, yeah. It was kind of a shit show, to say the least.
Okay.
Keanu Reeves, Idris Elba, a bunch of other people. I think Giancarlo Esposito is in it.
Okay.
I know he's in the anime, which is really good, actually.
What was the anime? The
Edgerunners?
Edgerunners.
Yeah, it's got Giancarlo Esposito, Matt Mercer, a bunch of...
Giancarlo Esposito is Gus Fring.
He's what?
In Breaking Bad?
Oh, okay. All right.
I didn't
get that far in it. I don't know.
Well, what else is... Oh, he was...
He's in Far Cry. He's in
Okay, he
stuff.
Was in Far Cry. He was also... was he Radio Raheem in Do the Right Thing?
I don't know. He's in a bunch of movies, though. He's in everything. And it's like, you can't think of him because he's just that guy.
Right, right. Right. He was in the Book of Boba Fett and all that good stuff.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's the ultimate, like, bad guy nowadays. He's
sure.
He's the guy who's just...
He looks great in a suit, too, so...
He does. I think it's the eyes. I think it's the...
Yeah.
He has this really intense, like, almost Hannibal Lecter stare. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. His voice is so good, too, though. He's perfect for...
He does.
He hams it up in Edgerunners, too. He's got a very big, bombastic personality for it. It's not normal for him and great in the anime, so...
Okay. So, Cyberpunk 2077, been playing that one.
Yep, I also just bought the role-playing game for it. Haven't even busted it open yet. Literally just got it.
That's all right. So we have that to look forward to.
Yep.
On our game night.
Yep, I'm going to do Electric Boogaloo with it.
Electric, oh, so like it's...
You're in a gang, a street gang, and said you got to dance it off.
Okay, so
a little psych out. You thought we were playing Cyberpunk. We're actually playing Electric Boogaloo. Sorry.
I'm down. I mean, it sounds like the Warriors meets meets Fame.
Yeah, or like West Side Story.
There we go. Yeah. When you're a Jet, you're a Jet.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be so dumb.
Okay. Hey, man, you know me. I love a little bit of... absurdity. In fact, we had I just had a conversation with Glenn the other day, and he was kind of his new philosophy for the New Year's embracing the absurd.
Oh, great.
And just sort of, you know, life at any given moment, when you objectively think about it, is just weird. We're all just ducks on a human planet trying to make our way. So
ducks on a human planet. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, this might have been driven by the conversation about Howard the Duck.
Of course.
But yeah, that's his whole philosophy this year, is just embracing the absurd and welcoming the strange.
Life is serious and hard. Why make it harder?
I mean,
just be dumb. It's fine.
Yeah, I be smart. You know, don't do dumb things that are going to have
horrible lasting
consequences. Sure. You know, I mean, if the only lasting bad consequence you have is a bad tattoo, like.
Sure.
Maybe, you know, that's about where my line is, you know? Yeah, so anyway, back to our original tangent of Giancarlo Esposito.
The anime is great, man. He's great in it. I have this weird superpower where I can hear a voice actor and just immediately know...
Pick them out.
Not necessarily their name, but I know what they're from. Mm-hmm. And just, I'll go down the rabbit hole and it's like, oh yeah, he's in this and that and that. And I heard him, one word from him, and it's like, that's Giancarlo Esposito. Matt Mercer shows up in it too. He said
What We Do in the Shadows.
No, Matt Mercer from Critical Role. He's playing Vincent Valentine in FF7.
I'm thinking of Matthew Berry. Is who I'm thinking.
Oh yeah, Matt Berry. Yeah. I wish that. Yeah, he's in Fallout though, and he's great. I love Matt Berry. And just to go on a tangent about Matt Berry and how amazing he is in voice actors. He's an accomplished jazz musician, and he does jazz, acid jazz, and he has like 9 records out.
Okay.
And they're amazing. They're so good. So.
Did not know that.
Yeah, he's so good.
That's like learning Steve Martin plays the banjo like a motherfucker, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
but he plays every instrument.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, and he records it himself and is just insane.
So he's like the prince of new wave acid jazz.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, he's great. He's kind of like, if you know the 60s, 70s artist Donovan.
I do not.
But... No? Season of the Witch?
Okay, yes.
Yeah,
okay.
That song.
I do know Season of the Witch. Yeah.
That's his big one. But
okay. Yeah. Okay.
Matt Berry's amazing. So Giancarlo Esposito. I have a superpower of like recognizing voice actors within 5 seconds, so.
Okay. Okay.
It's weird. And just like my neurons fire and I'm like, I know him. I know who that is.
I do pretty well as far as like picking out celebrity voices and stuff.
Yeah.
Like every once in a while I'll get stuck on one. But for the most part, if I'm listening to an animated movie or one of the kids movies or something, like, I can pick out, that's, whatever.
Yeah. John DiMaggio, the guy that plays Bender.
Mm-hmm. And he was a
bunch of other stuff too.
From Adventure Time, what was the dog's name?
Jake.
Finn and Jake, that's it. Yes. Yeah, he was Jake from Adventure Time. God, he's been in everything.
Yeah, so I love Final Fantasy X, and I recently found out that he's the voice of Waka, who is like a Polynesian, like Hawaiian accent.
Okay.
Very funny. I was like, I should have known this.
Okay.
Why didn't I know this? I guess I'm just not used to hearing him as a Hawaiian.
Yeah. He did a lot of voices on the Boondocks too. Anytime they needed like a gruff, gravelly voiced white dude, he was the guy.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh man.
I know he did the infamous Steve Wilkos in the infamous Granddad's Son episode.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
Oh yeah. This
this
38-year-old dude shows up on Granddad's doorstep and he's like, I'm your son.
Oh, yeah.
And they end up going all the way to Steve Wilkos, and Steve Wilkos gets in Granddad's face. He's like, you're a punk-ass motherfucker who never showed up, don't you? And he's like, I didn't know I had a son.
I don't remember that one. That's
great. He throws a chair at Granddad and hits him. It's great.
I almost introduced myself today as Dugnificent. I thought it'd be funny, and I'm like, no. They need to know who I am. I'm obviously not Thugnificent.
And we can take it back. You want to take two on that one?
No, I'm good.
Yeah. So anyway, watch the Boondocks. That's my message.
So I guess I got to ask, what you been watching?
Oh, look who jumps right into the...
I know.
My man... I watched two very, very interesting movies. One is about an alien invading your body and it changing your life forever. And the other one was Alien Romulus.
You did a bait and switch.
Uh-huh, see? I watched Alien Romulus and Home Fries.
I have not even heard of Home Fries. Like,
okay, so Home Fries is a lovely little rom-com, but it's a dark rom-com as far as those go. Okay. Starring Luke Wilson, Jake Busey, and Drew Barrymore. Okay. With special appearances by Shelley Long and Slim Pickens.
Okay.
Oh, and Catherine O'Hara. I forgot. She plays the
mom. I will watch anything for Catherine O'Hara. Okay. She's amazing.
So, long story short, Drew Barrymore plays a drive-through server at like the local burger joint in like small town bumfuck, like Mississippi, Alabama, or whatever. Okay. She, at the beginning of the movie, is knocked up by some random dude who is married to Catherine O'Hara. After he goes and sees her and is, you know, trying to be like, baby, but I love you. I'm going to tell my wife I'm going to leave her. Don't worry. And she's just like, I'm 9 months pregnant. And so, like, whatever you're going to do, do it quick kind of thing, you know? Anyway, he gets run off the road by this, like, Apache attack helicopter.
Okay.
And has a heart attack and dies. Turns out that the attack helicopter is piloted by his two stepsons, who may or may not have conspired with Catherine O'Hara to murder their father.
An attack helicopter?
Well, they just scare him. They don't actually, like, shoot him or anything. But right, they do, like, that, like, hovering six fly inches over, from his face. Yeah.
Okay.
So he has a major heart attack and dies. So the two brothers are played by Jake Busey and Luke Wilson.
Jake Busey, famously from Starship Troopers.
Famously, right? Also,
that's what he's most famous for.
That's it, right? Right. And so basically, they go home to Catherine O'Hara, and Catherine O'Hara's like, "Well, I never said kill him. I just said scare him half to death. You know, like, so whatever." Jake Busey is total mama's boy. You know, he's always sucking up to her and always like, "Mama, let me go get you some water. Let me rub your feet." Meanwhile, Luke Wilson is just like, "Why the fuck am I in this family?"
Luke Wilson?
Yeah, not Owen Wilson.
Oh, my brain. All right.
Yeah, from Idiocracy.
He's back.
Oh, this movie was filmed in 1998.
Oh, what, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, this was it. Peak Luke Wilson.
Okay. All right. Yes, from Idiocracy. That's what he's also most famous for.
Yeah. So they decided that they need to investigate because some weird shit goes on. So basically, while they were scaring the hell out of their stepdad, they were getting comm interference from her drive-through window headset.
Okay.
And so they're concerned that someone at this burger joint
heard
what they were doing.
Okay.
And so they decide the best way to go about it is Luke Wilson is going to infiltrate the burger joint, get a job there, and then find out what people know. Okay. Ask me if these two crazy cats fall in love, Matthew. Ask me.
Okay. Do they fall in love?
Matthew, they fall in love, and it is both awkward and delightful.
That was better. So is the helicopter thing, is that in the first, like, 2 minutes of the movie?
Maybe not the first two, but the first five.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. It just turns into a rom-com after...
Oh, by minute eight, stepdad is dead.
Okay. Love it. Yeah. This sounds amazing.
They're not wasting the whole first act on this. Okay. No.
Okay.
No. First act is Luke Wilson infiltrating the burger joint, having to do awkward stuff. He ends up stopping a robbery that was staged by Drew Barrymore's dad, played by Slim Pickens.
Okay.
Shelley Duvall is her mom.
Okay, I'm Shelley Duvall. Yeah. That sounds amazing.
It's really not. It's kind of cheesecake, you know.
Oh, really?
It's a dark rom-com in terms of the themes are all kind of messed up. I mean, essentially, Luke Wilson falls in love with the baby mama of his stepfather.
I mean, that's normal.
I mean, I guess if you're in Alabama or whatever the hell this place takes, you know. But
sure.
I will say Jake Busey is so deliciously menacing in this the whole time. Like, he's got that weird Joker grin the entire time.
That's just his face, but yeah.
But I mean, like,
I got you.
It works to his advantage.
I got you. Like, yeah.
Yeah, you know, if you got a mouth like that, you got to put it to work. So, I don't know. I feel like in a weird way I'm overselling this movie because it's not great.
Sure.
It's very, very cheesecake, but uh-huh. it's there's just enough charm and wit and my kind of dark humor in there that okay. to keep me really interested.
Okay.
That being said, it is your typical
rom-com,
right? Okay. It's
all right.
The first act is will they, won't they, and then they hook up.
Schmutzy.
And then yeah, and then of course she finds out that he's harboring a secret, and I don't know if I can trust you. And so I mean, it's Drew Barrymore. It at the height
at
of her
peak,
popularity.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah, when she was, you know, the bubbly it girl of the
'90s,
and Luke Wilson being
charming.
I was going to say schmarming. Like
he's that's fair.
He's smarmy, but he's charming, you know?
Yeah, okay. That's cool. I'll now that you've unsold it to me, I won't be watching that.
Catherine O'Hara is beautifully unhinged, as only she can do.
Amazing. Just do a supercut of her. She's amazing all the time. So great.
Yeah. She's a... I don't want to say she gets the underrated performance in that movie, but like they don't give her a lot to work with, and
sure.
she does a lot.
Yeah. She doesn't need much. She's so like theatrical and big all the time. That, like,
well, I mean, she grew up in, what was it? Second City?
I don't know shit about theater.
Was it? No, no. The improv group, like the same one that graduated,
yeah,
like John Belushi.
Yeah,
and
Eugene Levitz. And because I don't know if she's Canadian, but I know.
Oh,
Eugene.
Right. She might be CCTV.
Yeah, I think she's CCTV.
Okay. But same principle. Like,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, you, out of that, you bring, you know, John Candy and Rick Moranis
yep.
and Eugene Levy and.
Yep, the greats.
God, who was the. Oh. Anyway, it'll come to me.
Yeah, it's fine.
But yeah, like. She's very good at improv. Like, she grew up
mm-hmm.
in that. And so all you got to do is just give her the thinnest of premise and she can yes and it into something, you know, miraculous.
Insane. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. She's amazing. Well, what else have you been watching? Do you want me to do one now?
Oh, wait. I got to rate it. I'm going to rate.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to rate Home Fries. One Burger-matic. Hold the extra pickles.
Is that a joke from the movie?
It might be.
Okay. All right. Is that good?
Hey, what does that mean to you, Matthew? That's the
fair.
Scale we're working right. on here.
That's fair.
That's the scale here at what you've been watching. You know, I give it 4 lightsabers. I don't know what that has to do with the movie, but it gets 4 lightsabers.
Okay. All right, that's cool.
Let's see. After that, I watched the latest iteration of the Alien franchise, Alien Romulus.
Okay. I love the Alien series, but they keep adding more and more to it.
Yeah.
And make it dumber and dumber. And the more you talk about the alien, the less scary it is. And from what I hear, that's one of the issues with Romulus.
I mean, yes and no. My main problem with the movie is... And I agree. I love the Alien franchise.
Yeah.
The first Alien to me is... one of the top tier
yeah.
horror movies of all time.
Yeah.
Like, that movie to this day still terrifies me because
yeah.
it's essentially there's somebody in the house.
It's a slasher in space.
But in space,
yeah.
right? Right? And, like, then you add on the fact of, like, oh, and this thing bleeds acid, and if it goes up against the wrong bulkhead, we all get sucked out in the vacuum of space
yeah.
or crash the ship
yeah.
or, you know. So, yeah, it's absolutely terrifying. But the reason that movie worked is because... they gave the audience time to breathe and sort of catch
up. You mean the original Alien?
Yes. Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. They gave the audience, you know, like, there would be terrifying moments of, you know, alien screeching and he pulls you out of, you know,
yep.
some random victim into the darkness and they're never seen again. And then the rest of the crew has to spend the next 5 to 8 minutes going like, oh my God, that was terrifying. What's the new plan? How do, like, they build. They let the audience have a moment to, like, sit in the death that just happened and see everybody's reaction and sort of have the tension build up of like, okay, now which one is going to be next, you know, of these characters that I love so much,
yep.
which one is going to be pulled away from me?
Well,
and there's none of that in this one. It's just, and then. and then.
Sure.
And then.
While
and
also then. Hitting the exact same plot points from the original.
It tries to. It tries to. But again, I think it because it doesn't give the audience time to breathe, it doesn't give the main characters a time to come up with a plan. You know, like in the original Alien, they have that whole conversation about like
quarantine
it, and then we'll just jettison off into space, and everybody's going like, well, how do we do that? How do you know? And there's a discussion. Well, this plan might not work, you know. And when they first encounter the xenomorph, Dallas has the idea of like, well, I'm just going to take a flamethrower into the guts of the ship, and I'm going to like flush it out through the burn it alive in the drain pipes. Uh-huh. We see how that works out for him. And so then the crew is forced to come to terms with like, well, that plan didn't work. And now we're a man down. And also, what do we do now? You know?
Yeah. It's the second one where they have the thermal monitor in the vents, right? And they're like, it's in the vents. Right? I think that's the second one.
Well, I know in the second one they have the motion monitors.
Yeah, that. Yeah,
motion sensors.
Yeah, you're right, yes.
But that's also in the first one, yes.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. I think in the third one, they actually put thermal cameras in the...
I actually kind of like the third one. That's a David Fincher movie. It's shot well. It looks great. Yeah.
It was written by Joss Whedon.
Was it really? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's why there's such a strong pro-feminine, like,
I mean,
gay girl.
It's Alien. It always has been. You know?
Right, but that one it's ramped up a lot. Okay. Yeah,
third one's fun. It's dumb and it breaks the rules of the Alien franchise. Who cares? Whatever.
Yeah,
good time. But they get progressively dumber. The more movies you put out, the dumber they get.
To a certain degree, I mean, especially in this franchise, I would agree. Yeah. I don't know that that's a blanket statement over all movies.
Well, no,
but
yeah, Alien specifically. Yeah.
Right.
I think Predator is kind of like that. Except Prey was great.
I really liked Prey a lot. But again, I think that movie worked because they scaled it back. Like they took all the
big
like
step back.
The, you know, like let's just trim it down to what it is. One person alone with nothing but their wits and like what they can find in the jungle versus arguably the most prolific hunter in the galaxy.
Yeah,
you know, but yeah, going back to Alien Romulus, they really don't give anybody a chance to catch up. It's just one thing happens after another. Every plan that they come up with is immediately on the fly. Like, well, let's just do this. And everybody's like, yes, that's what we're going to do. And then
it works most of the time or it doesn't.
If it doesn't work, then there's a dumb reason why it doesn't work. Like, there's just dumb luck that like, oh, well, this thing failed. Or like they end up finding an old Bishop model from the original, you know.
Uh-huh.
And he, once they need to get information from him, so they have to rehook him up. And so once he gets hooked up, he starts shutting down parts of the ship and really messing with their plans and stuff. And so it's just this whole thing of like,
okay,
so now you've just added another unnecessary
ring. But is he full of milk?
He is full of milk.
Is he really?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. He's like, he got damaged when the alien broke out originally, basically. Okay. And so now he's just half an android, and he's got his wires and stuff hanging out. So yeah, they go the distance on that. I will say that they use the exact same actor, like they did with Peter Cushing in the new Star Wars. You know, the CGI or AI facial recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And the uncanny valley on it is so bad. Like, his lip sync doesn't match up.
Yep, I've heard. I haven't seen it, but I've heard, yeah.
It looks like a second or third pass at the technology, and they should have gone for a fourth and a fifth, because it almost looks in a weird way, like you were talking about, you know, Cyberpunk 2077, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, as photorealistic as that looks, and it looks really good,
It
looks like a video game. Yeah. Same thing with him. Like, it looks like, oh, that's very clearly done by a computer. And why wouldn't you just, like, either A, get a new actor and just say, like, oh, it's the same, it's from the same model
line.
Well,
it's a robot, too. So just say it's, you know, a different,
or just
from the same model line, exactly. And he just looks slightly different.
Or just make him just a head. And then just do an animatronic head. You know what I mean?
And they probably have casts of the original actor's face anyway. So
that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Because they don't want to do that. So much work.
God forbid we put actual art. I mean, I hate to say it, because CGI is art.
Yeah, it is. It can be lazy when instead you could do it practically.
Mm-hmm. I guess I just prefer practical effects, so.
They look better.
I tend to agree. I mean, with a few exceptions, but yes, sure. I think that for the most part, practical effects are the way to go. But I understand it's a little bit more expensive than, you know, just easier to hire a bunch of Korean animators and just tell them to do it, but whatevs. Okay, so for instance, like you remember in the original and subsequent movies, like if somebody got a face hugger put on them, they had the chest burster that would come out, but that would take like hours, like a day, yeah. like
yeah,
whatever. Matthew, this happens real time. Somebody gets infected and chested.
I think that's further away, but
anyway, it's a matter of minutes. Real time,
rather than different scenes, we're dealing with the face hugger. Oh no, it's acid blood. Oh no, correct. He feels fine. We solved that problem at dinner. He gets chest burster.
Right. In the movie, I think it happens probably
immediately. Yeah,
10 to 12 minutes.
Okay,
you know, in this one, and again, it falls into the problem of like. You know, somebody should have gotten the face hugger. There's the whole issue of how do we get it off and whatever. You pull him back into the ship. Everybody's going, what happened? There's the tension. They wake up fine. Oh, I actually feel really good, actually, yep. You know? And the next thing you know, yep. You know, like.
Then, hello, my honey. Hello, my baby.
What was that in? Spaceballs?
Yeah, Spaceballs. Yeah.
Didn't they actually get John Hurt to refilm that?
I don't know. I don't know that for a fact.
Was it? I gotta look that up.
I don't know. I don't know. That'd be hilarious, though.
Welcome to the Wild Speculation Podcast. But
let's say, it's true.
Sure, it's true. Yeah. We're starting a Hollywood rumor now.
It's fine.
You and me.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't put it past Mel Brooks to do that. Like, why not?
Well, the question is, would John Hurt do that?
Yeah.
Okay. but yeah, so again, it falls in the whole category of like, you gotta give all the tense moments that you've built up, time to breathe and time to
atmosphere.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like, and that's another thing about this atmosphere. No physics works in this at any point. Like there's a scene where they're going to a faulty part of the ship and the gravity is going wonky and it's turning off and on and off and on and off and on. Like, but it's sporadic. So whatever, there's a scene where they literally shoot a bunch of aliens and there's, you know, acid blood in zero gravity and they're just sort of like dodging it like bullets in the Matrix. That's, and I'm like, that's not how that, like, so you're telling me that not a single like microscopic droplet lands on their skin, or like, that's not like when you
that's a cool scene like, too, like, though, is that you don't expect the sphere of acid to like splat across your helmet and then it melts your visor away. I assume that they're not even wearing helmets either inside the ship, because they never do. They take them off immediately.
Right. Exactly. But yeah, so there, it's...
That would have been a cool scene, though, instead of Matrix dodging anti-gravity bubbles.
Exactly. Yeah.
So. That's dumb.
So again, that would have been a great way to build tension and then also lead into, well, now we have to rest and try and help this person who got burned by acid. Mm-hmm. And do we leave him behind and like give it a chance to, again, like let the tension build. Like it's the equivalent of going to a concert and all they do is just play the high notes.
Sure.
You know, like at some point you got to let the drums, you know, subside and let the different elements of the orchestra to take over, as opposed to just like, it's going to be trumpets 24/7.
I'll take you to a rave sometime, Michael.
That's why I don't go to raves. I can't do enough drugs to enjoy that music.
That's funny.
So anyway, like it is what it is. It's a fun, I wouldn't even say it's fun. It's a good idea for a reboot, and they do directly tie it into the original Alien, in a weird way, but it's there. But it's ultimately, it's just hollow and shallow, and nothing that happens within the movie means anything because it's negated 20 minutes later by somebody or by the same person doing the exact opposite of what they were just preaching. And
I got you.
Again, it's just a CGI fest, and it's just and then there's no there.
Okay. So I'll be skipping it.
It does have really good CGI effects. They do have a really good scene where the xenomorph bursts out of its, like, vagina cocoon, whatever. That's mm-hmm. pretty nice. Because they did that one practically. And so they have the, you know, the KY jelly dripping off the teeth and the...
It's just so wet.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Like, okay. How do you look wet and dry at the same time? That's gross.
Yeah, like, the best scene in Prometheus was when she has to give herself an abortion in the medical laser.
Well, yeah, she gives herself a C-section, basically. Yeah.
She has to cut it out of herself. That scene is so great. So amazing. I assume there's nothing like that in this.
There is a human xenomorph live birth.
Oh, okay.
It's all pretty right. gnarly.
Okay. Like Ace Ventura, Nature Calls, where he's birthed out the back of the rhino.
I mean...
Yes?
Something like that.
Tell me
something like that.
Just like that.
Yeah, okay, sure, we'll go with that. Yeah. Again, there's some really good gore effects, but it's ultimately wasted in the pacing and the editing of the movie. It falls into that horrible trap of I hate it when movies, especially in a horror movie, it's you have to know where things are and like in what room are we now compared to where is the killer on the ship. Like there's no maybe it's just because it's such a huge like it's an abandoned space station basically, so maybe because it's just such a huge space that like I had a hard time keeping track of like where they were on their hobbitish journey around this thing.
I got you.
You know?
Yeah, that is a big problem in horror movies. Like a slasher, you have to know where they are compared to where the villain is so that when the kill happens, it makes sense and it's not just like, I was off frame and I got you.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Like, I should have looked to the left. Oh my God.
That part. Yeah. Where people turn the corner and like, and there's an alien. And it's like, well, you didn't hear the hissing and snarling.
Yeah,
and
nothing. Yeah, I got you. And it's okay for a surprise, like popping out of the ceiling. Like, because like in that shot in the original, it's a huge wide shot. And the place you can't see is above their head, which is where it comes from.
Of course.
When it does the little tail thingy.
Yeah. Like stuff like that, I agree with, you know, like if the killer was hiding in the shadow behind the closet the whole time, that's fine, but you can't have the character literally just walk into the space and be like, everything's fine here, right?
Yeah, I got you. Cool. Well, how do you rate it?
I'm going to give it not a full face hug, but like Maybe a nose
cuddle. A butt out hug.
Yeah. It's a butt out face hug. Okay. You know? Yeah. Okay. Or a maybe a nose cuddle. I don't know.
Okay.
It's not fully enveloping you, but it's there.
I got you.
So yeah, man, that's what I've been watching. Two very very different movies, but I enjoyed them. That's fine. So listen, let's take a break, and we'll come back, and I will ask you a very very important question.
Is it what you've been watching?
It might be.
It might be. Stay tuned.
That's what we call the cliffhanger of the business, Matthew. Anyway, we'll be right back from our sponsor, Jesus Christ.
Our Lord and Savior.
Thank you. from our sponsor, Yeshua, the Lamb of God.
Caesarea.
Just talk to him, okay? Just talk to him. Or, at the very least, do like I do, and hey, if he died for my sins, I'm gonna make my sins awesome.
Yeah.
He's not dying for no bullshit on my account. I'm gonna make it worth it. So, my brother, I have an all-important question for you. What you been watching?
So, on Christmas Day, we went to a movie, and we saw Nosferatu with Marcus was there.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. The
Robert Eggers.
Robert Eggers. Like, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Famously, he did The Witch, The Lighthouse, Northman.
Yep. I'm a big fan of his. We were talking about atmosphere earlier and how letting a movie breathe makes it terrifying. He's so good at it. He's so good at setting up the world, and you get it, and he doesn't have to explain it to you.
For the most part.
There's no expositions.
Sure, right. Like there is in a...
Nolan movie.
Chris Nolan movie, or where it's like, okay, now we got to break down the science and here's why it works. Like, he lets the work speak for itself. Yeah. I got to say, I really, really do like his track record.
Yeah.
I think of his movies, The Northman probably is the weakest of the group. But even that being said,
it's still good.
The Northman is a phenomenally very well shot movie.
Immaculately shot. Soundtrack's awesome. The story, it's not much of one.
I mean, it's Hamlet.
It's Hamlet, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But like the way it actually happened, quote unquote.
It's exactly as you know it, to the point where like it felt like a Duel of Fates at the end where they're fighting. They're fighting over a volcano with like lava spilling out. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. But like in the end, you don't walk away from it like thinking. You don't learn anything from it. You don't think about it later on. It's just two meaty men going at it.
Big meaty men slapping
each other with slabs of meat. Yeah, exactly.
Two big old beef steaks and combined.
He's such a great director because, like, The Witch is an ultra-feminine movie, right?
For sure.
The Lighthouse is
And also a terrifying horror movie. I mean, like, every aspect of that movie is built, again, on tension and every scene... Whenever the horrible things start happening, it builds and builds and builds and goes into an even bigger stratosphere of like, oh, this is way more terrifying than the thing that just happened 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, and it's a slow burn and it's great. And he knows pacing. We saw The Witch in theaters. Mm-hmm. And there's like 12 old people falling asleep in the movie. And it was amazing. It was so great. And it was like what I imagined The Exorcist was like when it came out. Just like dead quiet in there. And like the way he writes dialogue, it draws you in.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
What are they talking about right now?
Right. Especially in The Lighthouse. I think
that's mesmerizing. It not only draws you in, it's like a...
Well, it's almost like the two characters have their own lingo. They have their own way of speaking. And at first it's very foreign and sort of and weird.
Yeah.
But then as the movie goes, like you start to understand like more and more and more the dialogue or the lexicon that they're using.
So in the style of Robert Eggers, he made Nosferatu. I actually kind of found it funny.
Okay.
Because his style...
You guys don't understand how much of a Matthew Dudley statement that is. Like, it was terrifying, but also I laughed.
Yeah, it's funny because I've seen Bram Stoker's Dracula so many times.
The Francis Ford Coppola?
Yeah, Ford Coppola, Bram Stoker's Dracula, 1991 or 2, something like that.
Sure.
It's hilarious because like Keanu sucks in it, Wino sucks in it.
Blasphemy.
No, they're terrible.
Are you telling me you didn't believe their accents for a single second, Matthew?
I have seen blue flames. It's like, get out of here, Keanu.
Shall I call my husband?
Other parts of it are great. The way it's shot, soundtrack, Gary Oldman's amazing. So this movie, you don't have that problem where individual actors take you out of it, right? Everyone is living in the world.
What do you mean? In
Nosferatu.
Okay, in the way that it did with Bram Stoker's in terms of Keanu and Wynonna take you out of it.
Yeah, and in Nosferatu, everyone's on point. They know what's going on. Because what I've heard is Eggers is a actor's director. He knows, he tells you how you're supposed to react to stuff, and rather than you're guessing what he wants.
Sure.
He's dialed in, and from what I've heard, he's just, for an actor, he's really great to work with. And
in terms of, like, this is what I want from you in the scene.
Yeah, this is how you're supposed to react and what you're feeling and blah, blah, blah. And every actor's going to put their spin on it, because Willem Dafoe is insane in that movie, too.
Oh, for sure. For sure. For sure. I mean, he's insane in everything he does.
Yeah, he's great, always. Really good movie. I keep seeing, I have been trolling comment sections for this movie where, on, like, Instagram and Facebook, I'll immediately go to the comments and people are like, this movie is boring AF. Or, you see the dumbest comments. And, like, when you're on, like, actual aggregate review sites, people like it. And I don't understand where the hate in the comment section is coming from, other than it's, I don't know, bots, not real people that actually saw it. That's my guess.
Okay.
I don't know. It's insane.
People also do have a habit of jumping on the bandwagon and
saying the thing
yeah, even before they've even, you know, like,
yeah.
Well, I saw the trailer and it looked boring and Willem Dafoe's a hack and why is this guy, like, dude, you saw a trailer.
Yeah. Like, it's great. And I love Dracula movies. Mm-hmm. They're terrifying and also hilarious. And it's, what I found funny about this was the Eggers style versus the theatricality of a Dracula story, and just the contrast between how theatrical Dracula is. Like, it's a theater performance, everyone's big, Dracula's menacing, and like a big character.
Like the classic Bela Lugosi, like the gravitas.
The gravitas of it. And versus how dry Eggers is, it made me laugh a bunch of times.
Okay.
And I was trying really hard to not, in the middle of the theater, laugh my ass off at something that's not funny. But it was to me.
Was it just conflict of style?
It works for the movie. But for me, it also made me laugh.
Just be in like a meta sense, in terms of, like, I know how this scene would be shot or, like, should be shot, and he's doing something that is very Eggers, that is totally contradictory to, I guess, the expectation or the way it would be traditionally done.
Yes, okay. Exactly. You got it.
Okay.
And I found it very funny.
Okay.
Willem Dafoe is always hilarious too, though. There's a scene where he offers the doctor some schnapps. He's like, oh, some schnapps. And Ralph Ineson sits down and does a line of snuff off the back of his thumb. He's like, no schnapps for me. And I found it really funny. Just stuff like that. Also, Willem Dafoe said that the rats were the best actors he's ever worked with.
The rats?
Yeah, thousands of rats in this movie.
Okay.
Thousands. Other actors complained about the smell of the rats, and Willem Dafoe he said they were the best actor he's ever worked with, so.
Okay.
And that shows you where Willem Dafoe's at, so.
These rats were the best I've ever
worked with. Yeah. He was so great. He loved it. And, working with animals is hard, and it drives up the cost of making a movie.
Sure, yeah.
Working with thousands, there's a rat wrangler probably multiple, a whole team of rat wranglers.
Right.
You know, you got to put them in the shot in the right way and kind of like train them to do a certain thing that you want them to do. It's not hard. It's not easy working with animals. It's not. I've seen Roar.
I've seen Roar. Which, by the way, that's a great pull. If you have never
seen... The most dangerous movie ever made, because it was shot on a lion preserve, and multiple people...
Was that Tippi Hedren?
Yes, Tippi Hedren and whoever their daughter is. Kathy Griffin?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Not Kathy Griffin.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Melanie Griffith?
Melanie Griffith,
that's
yes,
it.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, anyway, people got mauled on this movie.
Yes.
The reason why now we have the ASPCA was present to watch all animal handling is because of that movie.
Yes,
is because
yep.
There were so many people who got hurt and actually mauled
the most dangerous movie ever made, and is terrifying. It will make you shit a brick because it is like every second these actors are in danger for the entire movie.
Imagine it's like Jurassic Park, but with real dinosaurs.
Yeah, well, they're lions and they're untrained because you don't really train a lion that well.
Or at all.
Or at all, for that matter, in this movie.
Anywho, tangent over. Robert Eggers.
Yeah, I love him. Make more stuff. Don't give him too much money, though.
I agree.
He doesn't know what to do with it, and he has said that.
Well, but he's a very minimalist director. Yeah. I mean, like, he is a master at putting the most effects on screen, like, in the most efficient way. Like,
yes.
Every shot conveys so much of the story he's trying to tell. Even his dialogue, I think he's very parse, and although it may be very flowery, it's very to the point.
Yeah, you don't have to read into it that hard. It's not like every line is poetry or anything like that, but it does have deeper meanings, and you do have to read between the lines a little bit to get his movies.
I just mean in terms of, like, you know, in The Witch, they speak that very old English.
Old English, yeah. And but, The Lighthouse, they speak old sailor.
Yeah, that northeastern kind of like balk and yawd and, you know, all that stuff, you know,
drawing out the A's
and dropping the hard R's and stuff like that.
Go see Nosferatu if you haven't seen it.
What are you going to rate it? What do you give it?
Oh, man. I'm going to rate it thousands of rats.
Thousands of rats, he says.
Yes.
Okay. Sounds like a ringing endorsement to me.
So, to go off that, too, the next movie I watched, Glenn, we watched, and he recommended it, Hundreds of Beavers.
Okay, I think I saw that one on Pornhub, but...
Yeah, it does sound like that, doesn't it? That came out last year, and it's... this sounds really pretentious, but it's not. It's a black-and-white silent movie about a Canadian... Canadian Wisconsin trapper who is trying to trap hundreds of beavers to win as a dowry for the general storekeeper's daughter, and it is just Looney Tunes.
I think that's an apt description, actually. I watched that. It is like a live-action Looney Tunes cartoon.
Yes.
It's basically this... It's the lone protagonist who is dressed in, you know, the old-timey wilderness, you know, fur trapper kind of thing. He's got the beaver hat, but it's this huge, like, almost like Lego-looking kind of cartoon style, like, very overemphasized
beaver
hat.
He's got a mascot beaver hat on.
Yes.
While he is murdering beavers that are mascot costumes of beavers.
Right.
And he makes Looney Tunes-style Wile E. Coyote traps to kill the beavers, and he learned stuff about beaver culture along the way.
Like, they were building an atomic bomb out of...
They were building a rocket ship fueled by cider.
That's right, that's right. Fueled by high-grain apple cider.
Yeah, mocking human civilization or something. I don't know.
It's kind of a Planet of the Apes situation.
Yeah, it's so stupid. Also, one of my favorite movies from last year.
I gotta say, I really do like that one, but I really love silly, ridiculous movies like that. And that was so different than anything I had seen.
I've never seen a live-action movie like that.
I mean, maybe, like, you could go back to, like, Jim Carrey The Mask or something like that. But even that was a cartoon living in the real world, whereas this just is a cartoon world.
With live-action.
Done in live-action. Yeah.
It's so stupid. If you can find it, go watch it. It's so dumb. You're going to lose brain cells watching it.
But it's also highly entertaining. I mean, they do this thing. It's all very clearly CGI. Like, there's the sketch where he's descending through the beaver dam and he's on that never-ending ladder. And it's very clearly just him going, you know, mimicking, you know, miming, going down a ladder, and then they just CGI impose a giant ladder down.
Yeah, or when he's on the log system through the canal, and he's like fighting beavers, and he has to like jump over them because it turns two dimensional.
Oh yeah, he's going Frogger. He's going Frogger.
Yeah. Very funny. Go watch that movie.
Highly recommend. Yeah, that's it. I was going to say, that one was one of the more entertaining. And quite frankly, it's only, I want to say, like 80 minutes, 82 minutes.
No, it was way longer than that. It was over 2 hours, yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah.
God, that flew by.
Yeah, it flies by. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow, that's I would have sworn that movie was barely an hour and a half.
Yeah, it feels like it. It flies and it's hilarious. If you like Looney Tunes and absurdness and chaos, it's a great example of that.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right, what do you rate it?
What do I rate it? I'm going to rate it Hundreds of Beavers.
There you go. That's the only acceptable answer, sir. So, my brother, what else have you been watching?
So this list is stuff that I saw that came out last year that I also saw in the year. So it's all recent stuff.
Like, this is all movies that came out in 2024.
Correct. Gotcha. Right. So I saw Monkey Man.
I still have not seen
this.
Have
you not?
I'm disappointed in myself, sir.
I love Dev Patel. I think it's his directorial debut, I want to say. I'm pretty sure on that. It's Brown John Wick.
You have no idea how bad I want to do a voice right now. My restraint is amazing.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. It's a really good movie. Soundtrack's awesome. I saw it back in February or March or something like that. So I'm having a bit of trouble remembering it.
That's fine.
It's a revenge movie. He trains up as like a fighter and then to go beat the mob boss at the end and is fighting, and it does like a flashback sequence or to tell you why he's here in the first place. And then there's like a revolution going on also, and he wears the mask of the revolution, which is a monkey mask.
Okay.
And then he kicks ass. That's the whole fucking movie.
Now, I've heard that, like, you said he was like John Wick. Now, is he completely proficient in...
No, he gets his ass handed to him multiple times, but he also kicks ass and he solves through.
There you go.
I'll say one of the things I struggle with in action movies, John Wick does this a little bit. This movie did a lot more. When you have too many edits in a punch...
Yes, yeah.
You know, right. And he did his best. It's hard to sequence that stuff. You have to do a lot of takes.
Right.
Jackie Chan does hundreds of takes for every sequence, mm-hmm. right? Hundreds. You don't have time for that.
Right. Especially in today's modern.
So a lot of that editing kind of shows through. It's not terrible. It's not taken 21 edits to get over a fence or whatever.
Right. Or they show the same punch from three different angles and none of them look like they're
hitting.
Yeah.
This doesn't really have that problem, but it'll be punch, you see the connect, edit, guy flies back, edit.
Got you. Okay.
And you can tell every single time, punch, edit, guy flies back, hits the ground, edit, response or reaction.
Got you.
Every time.
It's kind of choppy.
It's as smooth as it could be for the way it's shot without doing hundreds of takes like a Jackie Chan movie.
Sure.
It should have done that. It should have. It didn't. I get why they didn't do it, but it would have been for the better if they did take the time to do that.
Yeah. Marcus and I have kind of talked a little bit of it in terms of, like, filming an action sequence is almost like filming a dance sequence.
Yes.
You know? Like,
yep.
You have to be very aware of where they are on the dance floor and how their interaction or how their movement is being received, not only by the audience, but, like, within the space itself.
Right. And that's the other part that you were talking about for Romulus is, like, where is everyone in space? And in action movies, it's more important than ever.
Right.
You know, like, where is this guy coming from? You know, because if you zoom out, right, and it's just a bunch of extras standing around waiting to take their turn punching at them, it sucks. It's so boring. Yeah. So there's a pacing to it, but also where is this random dude at in the room entering this fight at this time is a big part of the rhythm to an action movie.
Well, if he's standing by the window when he's fighting one guy and then he turns around and he's standing by the doorway fighting another guy.
Right.
You're like, oh, so does he teleport? Is the room just that small? How does this work?
Well, and
like,
just also additional combatants. Where is this additional combatant coming from in the first place, and why was he not involved in it from the beginning?
Right, right. I don't know if you've ever seen like a real street fight, but they very rarely go
take their turn
and wait to throw a punch. Usually it's like swarm, stomp, 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 stomp.
So he gets swarmed a bunch and he gets his ass kicked. And a really good movie. You should watch it.
I have every intention to. I promise. I will give a full report back to you personally when I do that. But like, it's unfortunate it's been added to the list of the never-ending growing list of movies. Like, I'll get to it.
Yeah, sure. You'll enjoy it.
I still haven't seen Green Knight, so.
Well, that's a harder watch. It's harder. It's slower. Monkey Man, you're going to fly through it.
Okay.
You can put it on in the background. Like, what's happening now? Like, you know, a John Wick movie. It's not going to capture you like a John Wick movie, though. You're not going to be like, this movie is fucking amazing and I can't turn away. Go make a sandwich and come back. You'll be fine.
Okay. Not missing a whole lot.
Yeah. I mean, more punching happens and then flashbacks. And like, why is this flashback happening? Oh, we're telling about why he's the Monkey Man now.
Okay.
You'll be fine. Take it easy. It's not a hard watch.
Okay. So it's like Irreversible meets John Wick.
I don't know what that means, but sure. Sure. I'm going to stick with Brown John Wick.
Okay. What do you rate it?
Oh, the 5-point exploding palm technique.
Oh, all 5 points?
Four of the five.
4 out of 5. Okay. All right.
I don't know what that means either. All right. Though.
What else you been watching, brother? Hit me with it.
Let me see. I saw the TV Glow.
Okay.
Have you seen that?
I have not.
No.
That's a horror movie?
Yeah, kind of. It's hard to explain. It sets up like this guy and this older girl are obsessed with this TV show that is basically, I don't know, like Supernatural or like Sailor Moon or something. And it's like a magical girl show that they're obsessed with, that they solve crimes.
I was going to say, that's two totally different genres of TV shows.
Really.
Sailor Moon and Supernatural?
Not really. They're kind of the same. Or Buffy or something like that.
Okay. Buffy and Supernatural I could go with. Okay.
So they're obsessed with this show. And then they grow up and they grow apart. And at some point she realizes that she is gay and she has to leave the small town that they're in.
The main protagonist girl?
Not main protagonist. The main protagonist is a guy. It's actually the guy from Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves who plays... I forget his name. Whatever, he's in it.
So some guy from that movie one
time. I don't remember his name off the top of my head.
Chris Pine?
No. He plays the wizard, the sorcerer in the movie. He is supposed to be having a queer awakening and never realizes that that's what's going on with him. And it's kind of like his voice is cut down all the time and he never realizes who he actually is.
Okay.
So it's like a queer coming out story that is also a horror movie.
Okay.
And it's kind of like the lived experience of like a queer person, how terrifying it is living in that existence and not knowing who you are because you're living two lives without knowing it.
So where does the horror at, like, is there a supernatural?
I don't know how to explain that. It just is terrifying. Just the way it's played out, like, because he's totally unaware of it and confused by everything. So it has this, like, surrealist nature to it where he's crossing realities between the show he is obsessed with his real reality. And also people keep coming into his life and you don't know if they're imaginary or real or not.
Okay. So
it's so hard to explain. It's such a weird movie and it doesn't tell you anything.
So it's a hard to explain movie that's difficult to understand and it doesn't answer any questions. What's the appeal here, man? I gotta ask you.
Well, no, it's just, it's surrealist and kind of about queer awakening and coming out, and he never gets to that point where he understands who he is, she is, and never makes the step beyond what his reality he's been told he is from the beginning of his life. So he's supposed to be a woman, right?
Okay.
Doesn't realize it, is gaslights himself and is gaslighted by his situation and never awakens into it. So, yeah, that's the best I can do to explain it.
He's reacting to this lost look on my face.
Yeah, I really am.
I mean, it sounds, I hate to say interesting, but at least unique. I don't know if it's a hook that I'm willing to get into, but I don't know. I'll give it 20 minutes, and if it doesn't hook me by then.
It's not going to get you in 20 minutes.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I hate to be like that. It's a good movie. You should see it if you are interested in that. I didn't know what it was when I saw it. I just watched it and then kind of figured it out after the fact. But it's
You do have a really fondness for sort of going into movies totally blank. Like, you don't want to read the back of the box. You don't want to, like,
watch a trailer. No, yeah. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. They give away so much in trailers anyway.
Well, especially modern day trailers.
Sometimes, though, I won't watch a movie until I have it spoiled. If I didn't know what the spoiler for Sorry to Bother You was,
okay,
I wouldn't have watched it.
But that's a unique hook, though.
It is so out there. And we're like, oh, he works at a telecommunication place and he has to, like, call people and put on his white voice. Like, okay, and... Well, then they turn him into a horse. What? Lead with that.
That's the elevator pitch.
I saw the TV glow. I don't know how to describe it because it is like a trans coming out movie, but he never realizes that that's the person he actually is. And he's projecting what he's obsessed with this TV show, and he's getting the TV show and his reality confused. And then he grows up, and when he watches the movie at the end of the TV show at the end of the movie, it's not what he remembers.
Oh, okay.
And it's really lame and dumb. And when he watched it as a kid, he remembers it as this special magical thing.
Right.
So I don't know. Watch it or don't. I don't know. I enjoyed it. It's captivating. It draws you in. And you just have to sit there and take the ride.
Okay. See, that's the hook right there, sir. That's the hook.
It's such a hard movie. I can't spoil it because not really much happens in it. It's kind of a premise-only movie.
Okay.
I like stuff like that, though.
Like Human Centipede?
No. Not like that. I'm... What would I give this?
Yeah, go ahead and rate it.
3.5 colors of the rainbow.
3.5.
Yeah.
How many colors of the rainbow are there?
Well, if you want to get in technical, it's 6, but everyone says 7.
No, I want to get in technicolor, Matthew. Ah, rainbow joke? Technicolor?
It's 6. Indigo's not real.
Controversial color.
It's not. They just liked the number 7 when they made the rainbow.
Hot news flash. Indigo isn't real. Neither are birds. Quoteth Matthew Dudley.
What else?
What else you been watching, brother? Hit me.
Immaculate.
Okay.
Sydney Sweeney.
I have not seen that one.
No.
Truth be told, I actually have not seen anything Sydney Sweeney has done. I haven't seen Madam Web. I haven't watched Euphoria. I just know that this girl was somehow foisted upon me as the new It girl. I'm all for it. She's very attractive, but I don't know anything about her other than, quite frankly, her nude scenes. So
I don't even know about that. I saw this movie. She's in stuff and she does things. I couldn't name them. She's famous and everyone knows who she is. And they're like, Sydney Sweeney's in this movie. I was like, who? Mm-hmm. It's also co-produced by her. So I assume Nepo Baby. I don't actually know. She's actually really good in it.
Okay.
Really good in it. Do you know the premise?
Are you familiar with it? I do not.
So she is a young woman in that is a nun and is shipped off to Italy to join a special convent.
Okay.
where they are basically a hospital and helping people. Spoiler, it's not what you think it is.
Oh, really?
It's a forced pregnancy, and they...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like Handmaid's Tale or something.
They're trying to... Can I spoiler this?
Just spoil it. Yeah,
just
yeah.
Spoil it.
Just spoiler heavy. Just go ahead.
So there's a huge buy-in in this movie, and you either buy in or you don't.
Oh, it's one of those twists.
Yeah. So okay. The twist is basically that the priest that she trusts drugs her and then impregnates her with the DNA of Christ that he scraped off the nail that okay. he was crucified with.
Okay.
Which is so dumb because DNA breaks down so fast. And also, Jesus wasn't real, but...
I was going to say, but what about Jesus' blood, Matthew? That's magical, mystical
so
blood.
She's supposed to birth the...
Second coming, basically?
The second coming, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the whole premise. And it's basically like a forced birth movie where she's stuck in a convent that is run by dudes, even though it's mostly women. Like, all the higher-ups are men that are making decisions about women's bodies and stuff like that.
Welcome to America,
yeah,
2025.
America, I know. And so this is a trend that I noticed a lot of during 2024. Basically, the same movie, again, is called First Omen. And it's a prequel to The Omen.
Oh, like Damien, The Omen.
Damien,
like,
right,
it's
and where he
you.
Came from.
Yeah.
And it's the same plot as Immaculate.
Okay.
And this also came out last year. Right? It's different and it's grittier and grimier.
Sort of a, what was it? It was a Deep Impact and Armageddon situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where it's like, we have two asteroid
but
movies.
They're different. They're both really good movies and they have the same kind of plot line with a different approach to them.
Okay.
Because Immaculate, I'd say, is the classy version of this.
Okay.
First Omen is the gritty 70s gross out movie of it, whereas really disgusting stuff.
So which one was your favorite?
I liked them both. I'm going to go with First Omen.
Of course.
Yeah, I of like course. It gross. Yeah. Sydney Sweeney like is great in it, and whoever the chick is, First Omen, really great too. Both really good movies. I'm going to give them both... Oh, man.
Careful now. Tread lightly. I see the wheels turning.
Yeah, what do I do here? I back myself into a corner.
If only there was a way you could abort out of this.
Oh, no. Oh, he did the joke.
Oh, no. Well, he did the thing.
I like them both. I'm going to give them a... Austin 316.
With the breaking glass and everything?
Yeah. Yeah, and chugging a beer also.
I don't know why. I don't know what it has to do with the movie, but I like your rating system,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, we're here for it.
All right, brother. I guess the only other question I got for you is what else you've been watching? Give me one more. Let's give one more solid one to the people.
Late Night with the Devil?
Oh, the Dave Dismalchin.
Polka Dot Man.
Yeah, he wrote, directed, produced?
I don't think he wrote and directed it. He probably co-produced it, though.
Okay.
He's great in it.
I mean, he's great in everything.
Yeah, that's true. Have you seen this?
I have not.
Okay.
Once again, my movie watching has been relegated to, like, children's movies age 5 to 12, so...
Yeah, that's fair. Dunstan checks in.
Coming soon. Yeah. Spoilers.
I will watch it and I will get back to you on that.
Oh, we're going to do a deep dive on this.
It's going to happen.
We're going Ninja Turtle style on this. We're going all in.
So, Late Night with the Devil. Are you familiar with the premise? You know anything about it?
I believe it's about a TV host who experiences like paranormal. It's almost like Poltergeist, but with
on live TV.
Yeah, with like David Letterman or something.
Yeah,
like
so he brings in a girl. He brings in a host of characters. One of them is like a magician, kind of con man kind of guy, and he's kind of a debunker. And so then
Amazing Randy.
Yeah, that kind of guy. This guy's more bombastic and full of himself than and in denial when stuff is legitimately in front of him.
Okay.
So the next guest, there's a few of them. I can't remember the other one. The next guest is a little girl that's possessed by a demon and has been working with like a Warrens kind of family thing.
A Warrens kind of family?
Yeah, like a psychologist, a spiritual psychologist that is like doing like exorcisms on them. Oh, right? From,
yes, I know what you mean, yeah.
Right. Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Mm-hmm, right.
So they bring the little girl on and they're like, oh, can I talk to the demon and blah, blah, blah. And then shit happens.
Okay.
Insanity.
They unleash the devil.
We're watching a possession on live TV. Come back after the commercials, right?
Here's from our sponsor, Corn Flakes.
Right. And so it goes tits up.
Of course, as most demon possessions
and
do.
So then we learn that Polka Dot Man...
Dave Dismalchin.
Right. his wife died suddenly of cancer or something, and he had been kind of like a Conan O'Brien type where he had been trying to sell his late night TV show and make it into the big leagues, and it never happens.
Okay.
And then suddenly his wife dies, and he becomes huge.
As a, like, because of the news, like, feed the news frenzy off of, like...
Yeah, that's what you're led to believe when you find this out, but what it actually happens is that he's in a weird cult that sacrificed his wife, maybe, kind of.
Oh.
And he blows up because of his wife dies.
A pact with Beelzebub, as it were.
Yeah, something like that. And so he's in, like, a weird secret Hollywood cabal that sacrificed his wife... even though it looked like cancer or something. And then he blows up and gets so big. And then one of his last hurrahs is having this possession on live TV.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes tits up and he's canceled after that and never comes back.
Okay.
Yeah, it gets weird and surrealist also.
Is it like gory? Is it...
No, it's shot like it's a 70s... live TV show, like the cameras, if they're not
like super, Dick Cavett or something like that.
Yeah, everything's like the contrast is really high, the saturation is really high.
Got you. He's wearing like the pearl blue suit, and the dude's wearing the you know,
It's kind of grimy looking, but it's obviously like it was shot on like 4K, and then they digitized it to look that way. So really look like a 70s TV show.
Got you. But it looks like a facsimile or something.
Yeah, but it's close enough, and it's enough to buy in.
Okay. Dig it. I mean, I do love Dave Dismalchin. He's amazing.
He's great in it, and he's the star of the show.
Okay.
He's great.
Okay, cool. I mean, on the scale of horror, how does it rate? Is it somewhere between, you know, like Scream and The Thing, or, you know, like what would be the closest approximation of like that type of horror movie?
Whoa. That's hard. Because I haven't seen something like it before. And it still does the tropes. Okay. Because it has, like, exorcism stuff on it. You're used to seeing stuff like that. It's kind of funny.
Okay.
Because it's a TV show, so it's just like, keep the cameras rolling, you know?
Right. No matter what.
Yeah, exactly. And the cast of characters that comes on, like the amazing Randy dude, he's very full of himself and pompous and doesn't believe anything and, like... this girl is levitating. He's like, oh, it's obviously, you know, a pulley system pulling her into the air. And he's such a cynic the entire...
And then, of course, she bites his face off or something like that.
Yeah, someone gets... the lights go out and someone gets murdered. You know, that sort of thing.
Oh, right.
It's like, ah! And then the crowd panics and they scream and leave. And then a camera falls over. And yeah, it keeps ramping up right at the end of the movie.
Okay.
Polka Dot Man is great in it. I already don't remember his name.
I just love that no matter what he does, you're going to be like, yeah, it stars Polka Dot Man. I'll know exactly who you're talking about.
I'll remember him as that forever. So he's great. He started the show. I really recommend it. Yeah, you should watch it.
So is he getting the underrated performance of the week?
Underrated.
Or is he properly rated?
He's not rated enough, to be honest, whether it's under or over. Not enough people are talking about him in this movie.
That sounds like an underrated performance to me.
If I'm going to say underrated, I'd say Bill Skarsgård as Count Orlok.
Really?
Yeah.
From Nosferatu.
Yeah.
Bill Skarsgård?
So good.
I kind of feel like he's properly rated. I don't know.
Yeah, in general, but if you don't know it's him, you wouldn't know it's him.
Ah, okay.
He's so good in it that you don't even know that it is it.
Okay, right.
The It monster. He's so good in it. You have no idea. And his mustache, clutch.
The mustache is clutch.
Yeah. Underrated performance of the week, Bill Skarsgård. Polka Dot Man, second.
Okay. We'll take it. We'll take it. Well, brother, I mean, thank you for hanging out.
Yeah, always a pleasure.
Thanks for filling in.
Yeah.
We really do appreciate it. Hopefully, we'll get to bring you in a lot more and
get to
hear your wild and wacky, obviously wrong opinions.
Yeah, obviously, wildly wrong opinions. That's absolutely. Let me prep next time and we'll talk about the stuff that I'm
more. Oh, no. Here's the mission. You and I, we're going to do a deep dive on Dunstan Checks In. We're going to watch this movie. We're going to do a bunch of research. Yeah,
frame by frame.
Oh, yeah.
Breakdown of the plot, the implications, the metaphors, allegory. Yeah. Oh,
yeah. What the existentialism of
why does Dunstan check in?
Who is Dunstan to check in the first place?
Who is Dunstan?
Can he just check in anywhere?
Yeah, next time.
Next time, brother. In the meantime and in between time, Marvelous Mike D signing off on behalf of MK Dudley. Thank you all for joining us on
Thanks
this very special episode. I would recommend that you go watch a movie.
Yeah, watch a movie. Watch Dunstan Checks In.
And talk about it with somebody that you love.